This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
रियलिटी शो रोडीज और बिग बॉस सीजन 2 के विजेता आशुतोष कौशिक ने रेस्टोरेंट में पिटाई का आरोप लगाया। तस्वीरें देख रहे हैं आप, कल रात की हैं। जब बाहर आकर खुद आशुतोष ने भी बहुत हंगामा किया। हालांकि रेस्टोरेंट से बाहर निकलकर आशुतोष ने भी सड़क पर बहुत ड्रामा किया। बीती रात मुंबई के लोखंडवाला में
संडे की रात को आशुतोष नशे की हालत में दिल्ली एयरपोर्ट पहुंचे बॉम्बे के लिए फ्लाइट पर बोर्ड होने के लिए। नशे में उन्होंने न सिर्फ एयरपोर्ट के सिक्योरिटी स्टाफ के साथ बदतमीजी की बल्कि उनकी वजह से फ्लाइट भी।
Rudy's 5.0 Ashutosh Kaushik was caught in his underwear drunk driving. The actor was dragged to Mumbai's Versova police station after he rammed his car and tried to escape.
When I was looking for clips for this podcast, I typed in Ashutosh Kaushik on YouTube. The first two autofill suggestions were Ashutosh Kaushik drunk driving and Ashutosh Kaushik slapped Shambhavi. Shambhavi was Ashutosh's fellow roadies contestant whom he had to slap as part of a challenge. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing about Ashutosh Kaushik. But now, after the above news clips, you have a very specific idea of who he is as a person, right? That is exactly what he has a problem with. Here he speaks to Brute India.
कुछ बातें जिंदगी से भूली जाए तो आगे की जिंदगी के लिए बेहतर होती है। मैंने मुझसे ड्रिंकिंग ड्राइव हुई, मैं उसकी सजा भुगत कर आया। मैं उन चीजों को बुलवाना चाहता हूँ जिसकी मैं सजा भी पा चुका। मुझे इतनी नॉलेज नहीं थी, मैं तो यही कहता था कि मैं राइट टू प्राइवेसी होता है, लेकिन हमारे वकील साहब ने बताया कि भाई इसमें ये राइट टू फॉरगेटन होता है।
इन जुलाई दिस ईयर आशुतोष कौशिक मूव्ड द दिल्ली हाई कोर्ट डिमांडिंग हिज राइट टू बी फॉरगॉटन। Hi, I am Suryatapa Mukherjee reporting for this episode of the Suno India Show. Today we will be exploring the right to be forgotten, what it means and what are the cases in which it might be justified. I spoke with legal researcher and activist Dr. Usha Ramanathan and Ashutosh Kaushik's lawyer Ishani Sharma. If you look up right to be forgotten on the internet, you will find that a clutch of cases have come up in India in the span of a year. But our story perhaps starts in 2014 with a judgment from Europe. YouTube channel The Nerd Writer explains.
In 1998, the Spanish newspaper La Vanguardia published a local announcement about the forced sale of a home due to outstanding social security debts. The property and the debts belonged to a Spanish lawyer named Mario Costeja Gonzalez. In 2009, 11 years later, Gonzalez didn't appreciate that even then, when you searched his name on Google, what you saw at the top of the results was this small financial lapse from the late 90s. Didn't he have a right for that information to be lost? Gonzalez contacted La Vanguardia and asked for them to take the story down. They said no, so he filed a complaint with the Spanish Data Protection Agency asking for the paper to remove the story and also for Google to do the same from its search engines. The agency director rejected the request to the newspaper, but upheld the one to Google, telling them to remove the links and make access to that data impossible. After some wrangling and appeals, the highest court in the European Union supported the agency director's demand, saying that Google was responsible for the processing of personal data and that people had a right to erasure or a right to be forgotten.
Then in 2017 in India, while delivering the Puttaswamy judgment, the Supreme Court declared that privacy is a fundamental right in this country.
बड़ा फैसला आ गया है सुप्रीम कोर्ट से, जहां पर राइट टू प्राइवेसी को फंडामेंटल राइट यानी मौलिक अधिकार माना है देश की सबसे बड़ी अदालत ने, और कहा है कि ये राइट टू लाइफ यानी जीने के अधिकार।
वर्डिक्ट दैट रन्स इनटू नियरली 550 पेजेस, द सुप्रीम कोर्ट हैज रूल्ड दैट प्रिवेसी इज इनडीड अ फंडामेंटल राइट। अ 9-judge बेंच ऑफ द एपेक्स कोर्ट ओवररूल्ड टू प्रीवियस जजमेंट्स।
नाउ द राइट टू बी फॉरगॉटन इज बीइंग सीन एज अ पार्ट ऑफ द राइट टू प्राइवेसी। Dr. Usha Ramanathan says that this right has now become a focus because of search engines and how search engines throw up information that would be most interesting to its user.
You know, if you take the earlier style of dissemination of information where you'll have, say, newspapers, you'll have, you know, there is an editor, the editor will look at it. You know what that newspaper is about, you know where it's coming from, you know what it is saying and why it's saying what it's saying over a period of time. And we keep having these battles about the difference between news and opinions. Then, you know, factually, when they are wrong over a period of time, they lose their credibility. None of that applies anymore when you have this platformization. Because the platforms, you know, the companies don't take responsibility for content. They're just saying we are providing a procedure for you and whatever there is, we are just amassing on it. And that is what is causing this problem. That's one thing. And the other thing is that there is no distinction in terms of period. See, all this information comes over a period of time. The platform makes no distinction about periodization. So it just produces all of it together. And there are various things that happens to the way in which people are perceived, what is said about them, things that, you know, in the natural course of human life, we forget things and we move on to other things. Platforms don't permit that to happen. So it then becomes important to erase it if you want to be able to put that behind you.
Even before the Puttaswamy judgment, there were a few cases in India where people sought this right to be forgotten following the European order. Dharamraj Bhanushankar Dave had been acquitted in a criminal case which included charges of murder. In 2015, he moved to the Gujarat High Court, saying that the details of his case were published by legal websites online and came up in Google search results. He said that this had an impact on his professional and personal life. He asked the court for permanent restraint on free public exhibition of the judgment. The court dismissed his petition. In Karnataka, a woman registered an FIR for forgery. She also filed a civil suit to end her marriage with her husband. The couple came to a compromise and as part of their agreement, she withdrew the criminal case. Then in 2017, her father moved to the Karnataka High Court asking for her name to be removed from the earlier judgment. It would come up on Google and Yahoo searches for her name, and her father said that it damaged her reputation and her relationship with her husband. His plea was granted by the court. So who decides if something is worthy of being forgotten or not? Right to be forgotten comes up against freedom of expression and the right to information. For example, is it causing more harm than good to have this information out there? Is the damage done to Ashutosh Kaushik more than the usefulness of this information to people in his life? His lawyer, Ishani Sharma, explains why he went to court.
How this petition actually happened is that if you know about Ashutosh Kaushik, so he won Roadies in 2007. And 2008, he was the Big Boss winner. Then what happened that he was getting a lot of, endorsements, small roles, big, small roles. So he, you know, came up like a celebrity. So he had a certain interest of the entertainment industry. So 2009, he was caught. It was alleged that he was caught drunk driving. So then it made, you know, all those sensational headlines and everything that he got into, he was caught drunk driving and so on and so forth. So there was pictures and posts all over social media and the media. So that, which were coming up, you know, in like a year's span again, it was cropping up and stuff like that, which was about one incident. Then 2013, there was this article that came out, Big Boss winner Ashutosh Kaushik got hauled for drunk driving recently, a result of which he was jailed for a day and had to pay a certain amount of fine and everything, which is, as a culprit of drunk driving, the law took its course. Whatever had to happen did. So basically, as we say, as there is a primary tenet of justice, which says that a person cannot be punished for the same offense more than once. So when a person is punished for one offense and, you know, you're done with it. So having a record of that and a sensational record of that, record for the sake of record keeping in the books should still stay. But for the sensational part of it, the person's life, his personal liberty, his reputation, everything is getting prejudiced by this for a longer period of time.
She explains how this affected his job offers, marriage proposals, and mental health.
He was in like a lot of psychological pain, a lot of loss of face. You know, when you are constantly faced with something that you did once and you've done your part of the retribution. So basically, he was constantly pain, and it was actually with the image, because all the endorsements and all the work assignments you get in the entertainment industry are eventually linked to your image, your public image, right? So because of that lack, because of that, you know, that spot on his career and image and reputation, he was it eventually impacted his work assignments, which translated into, you know, financial losses and things like this. There was one that is his personal matter though, but there was something about him getting married and people, you know, googling him up and then saying, "Hey, how can you wed your daughter to somebody like this," and stuff like that. You know how it.
Without the internet, how would I find out about a court case? By going through old newspapers, accessing court documents maybe, and reading them one by one. To know Ashutosh's past, maybe I would speak to those close to him. In that journey, the information would not come all at once, like in the first minute of this podcast. Maybe I would feel the passage of time more, the gap between then and now. Maybe I would find other things about him that paint a different picture of who he is as a person.
Even a person who commits a crime and is convicted, when they come out, the whole effort used to be on rehabilitation, that they are able to reintegrate, that they don't, you don't corner them so that they have no option but to, you know, find extra legal means for their survival. You didn't want that. This is distorting. This is definitely distorting. You know, so for a person, for instance, you have an Identification of Prisoners Act. That law says that, you know, a person, when they are a prisoner, their biometrics will be kept with them. When they leave the prison after having served a sentence, it will be erased. The law says you will erase that, you know, that record, because that person is no longer a criminal. The person is no longer a convict. They're a free person. That freedom stands compromised if we don't have any norms at all. The huge difference between the way in which technology gives us information and the way we used to collect information earlier. These technologies, especially the platforms that we have, are not creating information. They are putting information, you know, all that they have on in one place. That's all. It's not even archiving, because archiving has a logic. This is just, you know, a collection, a gathering of all that there is and putting it up. So the, you know, there are two things. One is that never letting you forget and never letting you live past where. And there are things that you do when you're young, which when you grow older, you regret, you revise, you make amends, you try to forget, and you move on. The internet doesn't really allow you to do that thing. You know, none of these technologies generally, broadly, don't allow you to do that. So they keep, you know, they can dredge it up at any time. And it's not like it didn't exist before, but it happens, like nobody needs to make any great effort to, you know, to just get it. So what I find it deeply problematic that, you know, what someone might have said when they were 17 or 18 or 15 or 22 comes back up again to them when they are 40 or 45 and say, therefore, you are completely discredited. Never mind what has happened later. It doesn't seem to account for people changing, because you can change from good to bad too. It's not as if you're only going to change in one direction. And it doesn't account for that at all.
Ishani says that the right to be forgotten is key to rehabilitation.
But the right to be forgotten, we are talking about in that sense, it can be traced back to the French jurisprudence, right to oblivion. So the rationale behind right to oblivion was the same. It was to allow offenders who have served their sentence to object to publication regarding the crime, the particular crime, jiska sentence aap, which you have completed, you're done with it. So there should not be any publication regarding that offense. So that is right to oblivion, which is derived from the French jurisprudence. So that is how we connect to it. There are European Union has a general data protection regulation. It allows individuals to have their personal data deleted. And overall, like globally, right to be forgotten is a part of criminal law. So there is a theory which talks about rehabilitation of offenders. Anybody who has committed an offense and has received adequate punishment for it, then they should be able to live their lives without the undue prejudice. They should have a fair chance to rehabilitate themselves. So I think right to be forgotten is a step in this direction.
Although we are now beginning to understand and shape the right to be forgotten, a basic understanding of this need has always been there. For example, in the Delhi gang rape case of 2012, two identities were hidden. The identity of the victim, until of course her family made that public, and also the identity of the juvenile accused.
Actually reporting the verdict from the Juvenile Justice Board delivered a short while ago on the one juvenile who was accused and charged with the rape and murder of a young girl in Delhi in December. That brutal gang rape gripping the headlines and all our consciences as well.
The Juvenile Justice Act makes it illegal to share the identity of juvenile perpetrators. The Protection of Children from Sexual Offences Act makes it illegal to identify minor victims of sexual offences. And Section 228A of the Indian Penal Code forbids the same for adult victims of sexual offences.
We make a choice, for instance, you know, because of the way things were moving, we made a choice saying that the children, you know, juveniles, the persons below a certain age, they should not, when they are being subjected to the legal justice, you know, legal process under the juvenile justice law, that should not be made public, because you give children a chance when they get into adulthood to leave this behind them. That's part of the way we treat ourselves as civilized people. Some of them become contentious. For instance, you know, after the Tukaram and Ganpat rape case, which is otherwise unfortunately popularly known as the Mathura case in the late 70s, which raised a whole host of questions about what happens to women who are victims of rape. One of the things that happened was the law changed. And in the change in the law, they said that the information about the victim, the identity of the victim, should always be hidden. You should not make it public. And people should not be able to trace back to the person who was the victim of rape. This was both a protection and respect for, you know, what it was, you know, what the person had gone through, and saying that, you know, you want to be able to leave the person to start and do what they want with their lives. You don't want the victim to be re-victimized by this process.
Another way in which the right to be forgotten is being understood and practiced right now is in cases where nude or sexual pictures or videos of women are uploaded online without their consent. In November 2020, in a bail hearing for a rape case, the Orissa High Court commented about the right to be forgotten. The accused had allegedly uploaded videos and photos of sexually abusing the victim on Facebook. He deleted it after police intervention. But the court observed that information online is like toothpaste. It cannot be squeezed back into the tube. And for this reason, the court refused to grant the accused bail. It called for the right to be forgotten to be recognized and encouraged the prosecution to seek court orders to have such content erased. In a separate but similar case in August this year, the Delhi High Court held that an individual has the right to be forgotten while accepting a plea from a woman whose nude audition tapes were uploaded online. Usha explains.
I think it's Ram Gopal Verma had called in people for audition, and there was some frontal nudity that was involved, and they filmed it, and then, you know, they just put it up on the net afterwards. And so the person, the actress who's, who had been so uploaded, said that, listen, I never gave permission for this. Nobody took my consent for this. I only went for an audition. How is this being converted into something else? So take it down. The producers immediately pulled it down. But in the meantime, other people had copied it. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that happens now. I haven't actually understood why this level of irresponsibility was exercised by the producers, but that will perhaps get explained over the course of the litigation. The litigation is still on.
Even as we discuss the right to be forgotten, the importance of freedom of expression and the right to information remain paramount.
When you say right to freedom of speech and expression, there has been huge restrictions that have been brought in by the state. And we know that. We know that today we are dealing with a situation where the right to freedom of speech and expression is getting constricted in so many ways. And speaking beyond that is seen as an offense, as a crime. So it's in that kind of context that this law will have to be, will have to be looked at. The risk in a conversation being cast in these terms is that because we are so focused on victims of this and people who are adversely affected, we forget that there is another reason why we want the internet to be free and open. And that is that there are many people who we need to know more about. And there are many cases about which we need to know. There are many activities and institutions that we need to know about. And these need to be public. The reason we support a free internet is because they make it possible for us to see all these people who otherwise, because of their power or their proximity to power, are able to hide themselves and give themselves various kinds of protections. So I think any kind of system that we are thinking of should account for this, that we expect the internet to be free and open. We expect that people, powerful people, the movement of money, the movement of people with money, the movement of power with money, all of these should be transparent and open for everyone to see. And that's why we support a free internet.
As the internet can show us more information about certain people than may be necessary, it can also hide information about certain people that we need.
The algorithms are interesting. Without naming names at this stage, because I'm still testing them out, you find that some of the really big people in the world, if you put their names in with and check for the wrong that they have done, for instance, you'll find that very, very meager information may come. That's it. You'll wonder where all the rest got hidden, because you know that it was written about vastly young people. So right to information people may actually be asking for changing these algorithms to make public personalities more visible than they are. So the game can go both ways. It's about erasure. It's also about visibility. You actually have, there is a way in which on the net in which you can be projected more or be taken off altogether. There are ways of, uncomfortable things being relegated so much that it will be maybe on the 167th page or whatever, and you may never reach it. Because it all has to do with positioning also. So, it's decided. See, there are data controls. Let's not ever forget that. And there are, so, you know, the people who become subjects of the net are also determined by the way in which the data controller wants it to work. So we've often been told, for instance, that if you want more, if you want to be projected more, then there are people who can do it for you. Because once you understand the algorithm, you can play around. So it's for the lay person who doesn't know how to play all these games that you get caught in. But people who know how to, you know, manage the system and manipulate the way in which the algorithm works for, you know, make it work for them. This is actually quite commonly known. And you do have very often people say, do you want to be projected more kind of thing? And do you want, you know, if you want something taken off, there are ways in which, because the algorithm is not some neutral thing. No, it says that it keeps learning and it keeps reconfiguring that information. So it's that you need to understand. So a technologically able person knows how to work the algorithm.
These competing rights are a matter for the courts, and perhaps we will continue to decide things on a case-by-case basis. But Usha says it is urgent that data controllers like Google take responsibility. We understand these platforms to be neutral carriers of information, but they are businesses designed for profit.
You know, the idea that we are just a platform, you know, we don't have any responsibilities beyond this. We don't need to verify anything. We don't need to worry about who we are affecting. And the idea of the algorithm, where algorithms are created, they can be created in a way where they can, for instance, if on YouTube you're going to have this actress's thing being pulled down by the producer, that it can keep being brought back and reintroduced is something that an algorithm should be able to pick up. If you don't know how to create an algorithm of that kind, you're admitting to a deep failing in your system, and you know, to call yourself a world, whatever, is really not all right. So what is the purpose of an algorithm? And that an algorithm should be open, because otherwise it's not going to be, you know, this idea that, I mean, I support the idea of open source, because when sources get closed, they become privatized, and then it becomes the interest of the person who is holding that source. I don't think we should be thinking in terms of, should we make certain things taboo on the internet, as much as saying that, you know, you can't hide behind platformization and you can't hide behind the algorithm when this creates victims. You can't hide behind the platform and the algorithm when it is shielding people who ought not to be shielded.
As for Ashutosh Kaushik, he not only wants the suggestive algorithms removed from search engines, he also wants the original articles to be deleted from websites. The case is still being heard.
I would still want to end it with the principle of, like, the basic tenet of law, which speaks that a person cannot be punished for one offense more than once. So this is the question open that this will... You know, getting prejudiced in the eyes of society is receiving the punishment more than once for the same offense. So that's how I would want to sum it up.
The right to be forgotten cases make us reflect on who we are as a society. They ask, what happens to the victim outside of the court? What happens to the convict after they serve their sentence? Is everything really worth remembering? It shows us that the internet is not a neutral space. On the other hand, these cases also remind us why we fight to remember things. It reminds us that in a culture increasingly making it difficult to report the truth, it is more important to do so.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting a contributing page on our website, sunoindia.in, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.